We do want to leave a little bit of time for Tony to speak this morning. Although he's already been up there talking a lot, he prepared a message, so let's be ready to hear that. All right, I'm going to start the announcement, so if you're still frivolating over there, then that's a new word I just made up. All right, remember that Fred Slaughter's All Community Memorial Service will be held next Sunday, October the 9th at 5 o'clock p.m. here at Hillside. It's a potluck, so please sign up to bring your favorite dish or dessert. Bread and drinks will be provided. Also, there will be an opportunity for you to recall a memory of Fred. So if you have a special memory, be prepared to give that as well. That is next Sunday at 5 o'clock here at the church. Tuesday, Woman's Bible Study. Ladies, you have two opportunities to hear, have a Bible study, one in the morning with Uni and one in the evening with Tina. Both of them are on Tuesdays. Uni's Bible study is in the book of Genesis. It's from 10 o'clock to 12:30 on Tuesday mornings. And Tina's Bible study in Philippians is from 6:30 to 8 o'clock at night on Tuesday evening. So remember that. Ladies, Marriage Monday is tomorrow. It's a potluck. You supply the main dish. We'll supply the drinks and dessert. We'll take a half an hour to eat and then get right into the main event. Dance instruction with Yolanda, and Tony's going to have something to say about that. No experience is necessary, just a husband or a wife, preferably one of each. Cost $10 per couple. You can sign up in the back today. Men's Bible study will resume this Wednesday. They've been off for a little bit of time, but this Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 8:15, with an in-depth study of 1 Peter. There are study guides available in the back for $7. The fun fellowship, the food, the coffee, the Bible, that's all free, but the books are $7. Tasty muffins, it says here, so remember that. Men, Children's Church meeting today after the second service. If you are interested in knowing more about the children's ministry, how you can be a part of that, go downstairs after the second service. They will be having a meeting about that. The 16th annual Camp Julian Oaks Barbecue Benefit. Just waiting for the woohoos, a lot of excitement there. There's a lot of words in that. Nick, next year, change that a little bit. There's a lot of words in that title. Will be held on Saturday, October the 22nd from 11 to 3. Are there still tickets available? Okay, as far as Nick knows, and he's in charge, there are tickets available. So please sign up because they sell out. So do not wait until the day before and want to buy a ticket. They will be gone. So please buy one as soon as possible. Thank you to the amazing crew of helpers, cleaning crew number 3, for cleaning up the church, getting it ready for Sunday. And we're still looking for one more person to be part of cleaning crew number 4, whose name is Cleaning Crew Ultimuto. I just made that up. It's not even a word. Let Lacey know if you are available to join Cleaning Crew number 4. I saw her a moment ago, but I don't see her now. But find her after the service and let her know that you want to be part of that cleaning crew. That's all the announcements that I have. I'm going to turn it over to Tony. There's no offering this morning for sake of time. We're not going to make a collection, but you can put your offering in that metal box on the wall or in one of the baskets if you have one. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Thank you. Wow. Yeah, I can't stress enough the importance of a strong children's ministry, especially as you see how many kids go downstairs. Man, this is our opportunity to build them up in Christ Jesus at a young age. And again, as I said, man, we've got to push back against what the world would offer. We've got to bring and hold up high Jesus Christ and then have joy in watching our kids come to know him as their Savior and walking in his truth. That's the greatest joy I think a parent can have, to see their children embrace Jesus Christ as their Savior and then begin to grow. And that's the topic of our sermon today, is growing up. And it was hard not to be touched by the memorial yesterday for Fred Slaughter, as probably close to 300 people gathered at the Nature Center there in San Isabel, and they gave tribute to him. Some were scripture readings, others were just memories shared, but one thing you knew by the time you left is that Fred Slaughter's life was marked by Jesus Christ and his sharing of the gospel. And just as he grew physically, just as Bob Redding shared, who knew him since he was 2 years old, just as he grew physically, Fred Slaughter grew spiritually. And the more he grew, the more he was out and about sharing the gospel. And he did it in every way possible. Whether he was driving some heavy equipment or driving his tractor or being by the cider mill, just standing there talking to people, man, he was always about the business of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He would invite people to church, as many of you know, who usually wouldn't go to church. And as if that wasn't enough, he would make sure they had a Bible, again, a CD in their hands, as I shared earlier, a CD player with batteries in it. And man, he went to great efforts to make sure that people heard the message of Jesus Christ. And so too, we are called to do the same. And if anybody walked away from anything yesterday, it was, wow, I'd like to follow up Fred's lead of being so bold and loving with the sharing of the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 2 is about growing up. And it's about putting aside things that are not fitting for a Christian, and instead taking in all those things that are going to grow us stronger in Christ Jesus. And so, again, it's been like a small variety show this morning with so many activities, but I want to give place to our reading of God's word. So Lord, help us now as we open up 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, would you fill us with the knowledge of your word, Lord, that we can understand it, that you would guide us into all truth through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would call to remembrance your words, Jesus, and then after reading these things, Lord, you would spur us on to love and good works, that love would be the outcome, beginning with our spouse, our kids, our neighbors, strangers. God, help us to understand, ingest this, and then go forth from here. In the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Peter writes this. After reminding us that our life is like the grass that is one day here and gone the next day, like a flower that blooms and then falls away, he says, therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And that's all we can focus on for today. The spiritual life is very much like our physical life. There are steps that are obvious in our physical growth that are also quite obvious in our spiritual growth. And Peter highlights some of those in the short little passage, these 10 verses right here. And the first thing he says is, as Christians, There are certain things that are not fitting for us. There are things that would stunt our growth if we continue to do them. When I was in high school and I began to compete in various sports, the coach was clear. You should not be smoking. You ought to be not be going to these Friday night parties and getting drunk. You ought to be resting. You ought to eat food that's healthy for your body. You ought to put aside the junk food. If you want to be the best at what you do in your sport, then you've got to have a lifestyle that reflects it. And so there were certain things we were told to stop doing that we once did before we were on the team. And so too, Peter says this. He says, you got to put away things. He said, lay aside malice or the intent to do evil to somebody else. Lay aside deceit, which is concealing or misrepresenting the truth. Don't hide the truth from people. Lay aside hypocrisy or the practice of claiming to have moral standards, a certain standard of living, but yet your behavior doesn't reflect it. You preach one thing, you do another. Don't do that. You've got to walk the talk. And he says, lay aside envy, which is a resentful attitude, longing towards somebody else's possessions, towards their position that you want, towards their qualities, towards their gifts. Even in the church, we can look at each other and envy one another's gifts that you have, and you say, I wish I had that gift. I wish I was kind and nice and hospitable like Emily and Obi, Greg Parker and Marl. I wish I had that. We're not to do that. God's given us differing gifts in the body of Christ. So Peter, again, is exhorting these Christians, these Jewish Christians who are suffering, to cast aside these things. And instead of doing those things, he said this. He says, as newborn babes, verse 2, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There is definitely a definite parallel in the growth process of our physical life and our spiritual life. And I have this here in your little orange outline there. If you'd like to follow along with me, I'm going to just go through them now. These are what we call stages of growth. And of course, it all starts, as we see little Grace Lee and Leon Holman. She was born. She's here amongst us. So too, our spiritual lives begin with a birth. And the Bible calls it being born again. When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, a Pharisee, he said, Rabbi, we know you're sent from God because nobody could do the things you're doing. And Jesus gets right to it. He doesn't waste any time. He says, Nicodemus, I tell you, unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. They have a little discussion. And it comes to the place where Jesus tells Nicodemus how a person is born again. He says, Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. Nicodemus, this is how you're born again. Believe in Jesus. And all of us, well, I shouldn't say that. Many of us here could go back and say, this was the day or the month of my spiritual birth. We have a friend, Marcus, who comes sometimes, and he'll say, today's my birthday. And I'll say, wait a second, I thought your birthday was in February. He goes, this is my spiritual birthday. And so he celebrates his birthday every year of the day he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. We have to do that. We have to remember that day. And then, of course, we go on. Our little Faye, little Colt, little Gracely, they're born, and soon they open their eyes. And so, too, when we're born again, our eyes are open to things we did not see before. We have the eyes of faith all of a sudden. And we don't just see the things that are physical right in front of us and desire those things, but now, because we have a confident trust and obedience to the Word of God and the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, man, he sheds light on things that once were unfamiliar to us. We begin to understand his word. We open the word and we see with spiritual eyes. We see somebody who's hurting. Instead of taking advantage of him like we used to do, now we go and minister to them. We have eyes for the hurting and the lost. And so we walk by faith, the Bible says. And I put that in your little notes there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 through 17 is all about walking by faith, not by just the things that we see, but by our confident trust and obedience to Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we begin to grow. As a baby nurses or receives formula, he or she begins to grow physically, sometimes very rapidly. And so too with us. Peter tells us right here, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow hereby or thereby. And so the way for a new Christian to grow stronger is by reading the Bible. That's why it's so good, as Fred did. It's not enough to say, hey, come to church with me. Maybe Tony will preach a good message. We don't know. But you give them God's word, because that's a sure thing. He's not going to fail you. Or you give them the Bible on tape or CD or whatever. Or say, go to the Bible app. But the number one way that a new Christian is going to grow, or an old Christian, is by reading God's word, the pure milk of the word of God. Oftentimes, the people that get the most attention in Christian circles are the ones that are doing something that's very sensational, emotional. It gets us charged up. Come down to the tent. There's going to be a healing service. You're going to see signs and wonders. And you're going to walk away changed. Well, yes, the Lord does those things. He does. But we ought not to rely upon sensationalism to satisfy our cravings for the Word of God. The Word of God is a sure foundation. We ought to value it as our spiritual food. Just like athletes who work out, man, if they're wanting something quick to nourish them, they're going to grab, protein powder, muscle milk, something like that, a half a side of beef, whatever it is. But they're going to nourish themselves with something that's going to build them up. They're not going to look for junk food. And so, too, we ought to have the best, which is God's word is the best. It's our protein, you might say. And then, of course, a baby begins to crawl. They begin to make forward progress with Jesus. And so, too, in the same way, we begin to move towards Jesus. We begin to, as Paul said, forget those things which lie behind and look forward to those things that are before. We press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We start to move forward. Instead of falling backwards, we take steps forward. And that's crawling. And then, of course, not too long after that, we see Faye, Colt, Gracely, they hold on to the table and they begin to stand up. Wow. They're doing it. Maybe they hold the table first, but then they let go of the table. Kind of wobble a little bit. So too we come to a place that we are able to stand up against the wiles of the devil, against those things that used to just take us down, the temptations, the desires, the passions that used to just eat us up. Now we can take our stand and say, no, I'm not gonna fall to that. I'm not going to be pushed back by that. And how do we do it? Ephesians 6. We take on the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, all these pieces of armor that help us to stand against the devil's strategies and tactics and things like that. Then we begin to walk. We stand, walk. Faye was walking yesterday. Again, wobbly, but every day that passes, she gets more sure-footed and she begins to walk more confidently. So too we, as Christians, as Paul says, begin to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does walking in the Spirit mean? It means having a life full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those things we seek. We seek to fill our lives with those things. Things of God. John parallels that and he says, walk in the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light, Jesus. And so we forsake those ways of darkness we used to walk in. We used to have no trouble going in to watch this movie or picking up this magazine or listening to this song, which were just filthy. And now instead, we turn away from those things. We walk in the light. We fill our homes and our minds with the words of God. We watch movies that are encouraging in our Christian life. We listen to songs that would please God if he were right next to us. And we look at things that are good and noble and trustworthy and have good reputation. As the psalmist said, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. That's what we do. We strive to not let anything into our minds, as we're the gatekeepers once again, of our minds and our hearts. And then, pretty soon, as we're standing up, walking, we realize we need more solid food. We've got to eat solid food. And we spent quite a long time on this in the book of Hebrews, where there comes a day when we go beyond the elementary teachings of Christ. As the writer of Hebrews said, he says, solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 6, leaving behind the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity or completion. So we go beyond what we once knew in our salvation. Yes, we were born again. Yes, we're learning the Bible. Yes, we're praying. Yes, we're praising the Lord. But we go even beyond that. We dig into things in the Bible that are doctrinal things that bring us to a whole new level as we immerse ourselves in a Bible study. We grapple with things so that when we come to somebody who asks the tough questions to us, we can confidently say, let's go to the Word of God. I can answer this question for you. And if we don't know the answer, we say, let's find it together. I don't claim to know everything. I'm still learning too. But not only that, but we begin to look for opportunities to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We go to feed the hungry, to give water to the thirsty, to go visit the prisoner, to go visit the sick, to give clothing to the naked. We do that willfully, happily, joyfully. We begin to even talk like Jesus, just as Faye and Addie, Eliora, Emmy begin to speak. Some of the words they speak are the words of their parents. So too, we speak the words of Christ Jesus. Our words begin to resemble Christ Jesus. And when somebody talks to us and we share a scripture, man, it speaks to their heart, to their soul. More than anything I could possibly say on my own, I use the words of Jesus, and those words minister to people. We speak forth the words of life to them. We put away words we used to use. Then we run. We run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God the Father. We actually begin to move quickly and confidently. We don't try to avoid people that make us uncomfortable or that we have a hard time with. We actually go towards them. We seek them out. We run to the battle lines in the name of Jesus Christ. And I couldn't leave this one out. We wrestle. We wrestle against powers and principalities, against rulers of wickedness in high places. We grapple with these things that come against us, that seek to take us down, that our adversary, the devil, brings in our path. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, with the armor of God, on our knees oftentimes, we wrestle against these things. And we're victorious. We have victory. Thank you, Jesus. And finally, we rest. Now, I could have put that at the beginning, because as we know, babies rest and eat and do other things. But as we shared in the letter to the Hebrews, a sign of maturity is to rest in your salvation, to not fret, to not wonder, am I saved, am I not saved? Was this God's will, is this not God's will? No, man, we take it. We say, Jesus, I've committed myself to you. You saved me. I'm walking in your ways. Help me to rest in that. And that's a good Christian life. That's a healthy Christian life. That's growing up in Christ. And that's all the time we have for today. But I want to encourage you. We never get to a place where we've arrived, where we say, man, I'm at the peak. I'm at the plateau. I can't go any higher. If you say that, then you definitely need to go higher with Jesus, because, man, we're called to be humble people. So whether you're a young Christian, just came to Christ, or whether you've known him for 40 years, these things are still important. This book is still your spiritual food. Don't forsake it. And I'm glad you're here today with your brothers and sisters. We encourage one another. We're not called to be lone rangers. We're called to be with the body of Christ. So let's stand together as the body of Christ. Let's commit our time to the Lord again. Hey, as we pray too, I want to encourage you, if you've never come to that place, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never been born again, then man, this is your opportunity. I was thinking about that at Fred's memorial yesterday, as 300 people gathered there. And they heard Herb speak the gospel. They heard Bob Redding speak the gospel forth. They certainly heard Keith Stringfellow speak the gospel. And I even got my 5 minutes in there. But every one of those people were given another opportunity to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe today, this is your opportunity. Don't forsake it. Don't turn it away. So as we pray, I'll have a moment where you can do that. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name, for the time you've given us, Lord. Thank you for your apostle Peter, God. A rough, tough, crude fisherman that you made a fisher of men, who went from casting his nets for perch and trout and bass to casting the net for souls, Lord Jesus, thank you. And God, you've called us to do the same. Whether we're, again, a heavy equipment operator, a restaurant worker, a student, a personal trainer, Lord, you've called us to a higher calling, even within our jobs, to catch men and women by the sharing of the gospel. Help us, Jesus, to do that, to keep it simple but straightforward, and leave the results in your hands, Jesus. And if there's anybody here today who has never been born again, who's never put their faith or trust in you, Jesus, I pray they would pray a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I am sorry. Lord, please forgive me. I have resisted you and avoided you, but now I want to receive you as my Savior. You're offering me the gift of salvation, so now I turn away from my sin. I believe what you did on the cross was for me, and I confess that I have received you today as my Savior. I was blind, now I see. I was lost, now I'm found. I was dead, now I'm alive. Thank you, Jesus. I'm born again. You did it, Lord Jesus. And help me not hide that from anybody today. Let that be the biggest thing I can share today. So God, I thank you for meeting me here today and forgiving me my sins and giving me eternal life. And Lord, for those of us who have walked with you for quite a while, God, help us. God, help us to not grow weary from doing good. Help us to not grow weary of picking up your word. But let us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until the day we see you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you now for the food we're about to eat, for the big cake, for little Grace Lee and Leon Holman in her honor, Lord. Thank you for that. And we'll edit that out, of course. And Lord, we do praise you and thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hey, that's you. If you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, man, come up. Let's celebrate that. But please stick around for the fellowship. Enjoy the cake and the cookies and the coffee. And Obi and Emily, congratulate them on their wonderful, beautiful little girl. God bless you.
Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. And every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Have a great week.